We're going to run short of time this morning, so I'm going to read just one line from the gospel text. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Huh? Is that right? Okay, let's say that together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen. Let's sing the hymn before the sermon. Stand up, everyone. Of my mouth, and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. For thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Where I grew up, there's one parade a year. Unsurprisingly, it's not a sittin' of my parade. Norway's Free from Sweden parade. Of which I am controlling myself, at least trying to not make too many comments about that, except to say that our three Minnesota grandchildren all chose Gustavus Adolphus. You know, that's a sweet school of our church. instead of St. Olaf, where both of their parents went and where two of their grandparents went. I think they were rebelling against all of us. The Swedes won that one. A key ingredient of a Sitnamai parade is the involvement of children, in which they march and dance, and traditionally in Norway, the route of the parade is planned so that the kids can stop at the homes of senior citizens and also visit war memorials, lest they forget who went before them and brought them to this day. Their Sitnamai, May 17th, is our what? Come on, our what? 4th of July, where in my hometown, the American flag can be seen waving proudly in the westerly wind, especially adorning the homes of those whose lives were affected by the wars, similar to the emphasis in Norway. World War I, World War II, then Korea, then Vietnam, and currently the mess we're in with all those countries, Libya, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, not to mention the African countries. I love going home and visiting the city park and there seeing my father's name forever chiseled in that marble memorial monument commemorating the veterans of World War I. On our nation's Independence Day, the 4th, Old Glory flies from all the lampposts adorning our streets and from the porches of homes built at a time when porches were more important than an attached garage. An architectural tradition well kept in Petersburg. But that's it back there on the 4th. Just flags on Independence Day. No parade like here. No dancing children like here. No dancing through the streets lined by all the big people like here. And lest we forget all of it made possible by those who came when before us. But back there they do have a parade. Back there in Estherville, Iowa. It's just that it's not an Independence Day parade like here. And Marianne and I took it in a couple years ago. I think we saw every fire engine for miles around. And humongous air-conditioned tractors that had not only dual wheels in the back, but also dual wheels in the front. And of course, antique cars dusted off for the occasion. And the Queen and her court atop a flatbed waving to us. It was not Independence Day that sparked that parade. And if I were to ask you to make a guess as to what day it was, you'd never get it.
Corn Day.
What?
Corn Day.
Oh, you should not have. You took the wind out of my sails. Give her a hand. It wasn't the fourth. It was sweet corn days. I have in my manuscript, of course, you shouldn't have known that. But now you do. What day was it?
Sweet.
What day? What kind of corn?
Sweet.
Sweet corn days. It's a big deal in Iowa, in Esterville. The day of the big parade, just about as big as Sitnamai. The day we get to eat all the sweet corn we want to eat, smothered with butter that's in big jars, bottles, with a push button, and you can just run butter on that sweet corn like you cannot believe. And talk about napkins. I'd go grab a couple napkins every time I went and got two more ears of corn. My brother-in-law, who passed away a year or so ago, I think we each had 8 or 10 ears. We were trying to outdo each other. Anyway, sweet corn days in Esterville, Iowa isn't exactly a destination vacation site. But if you haven't ever been there, someday in your travels, you ought to check it out. Great PR attracts people from surrounding counties and even Minnesotans to brainstorm of the Chamber of Commerce. You probably wonder where I'm going with this sermon. We'll get there. Now back to Sitnamai, Petersburg's celebration. Once a primarily Norwegian, as Kara said, the first wave of immigrants to this place, Bushmen. What are some of the names that you can recall? Bushmen? Haugi, Tweeten, Norberg, and one of our own, Carol Engi, Rasmus Engi. Along with some non-Norwegians' names that have in later years crept into the phone book, all of whom were preceded by the Native Americans, who were here long before the first telephone book. We have become a wonderful mix of ethnic backgrounds. But one thing we have done better, lest we forget, we celebrate not only one Independence Day in Petersburg, but two. The 17th of May and the 4th of July. We treasure and celebrate our heritage. Our village's name derived from its founder, Peter Bushman, who did not follow the steps of many of his ancestors who were Lutheran ministers in Norway, but who rather chose to become a maker of fishing nets and also fish the herring nearby. With the introduction, however, of net-making machinery in Germany, his handmade fishing nets could not compete. And with declining herring stocks, he made the choice, Peter Bushman, to leave his native city and home to immigrate to the Pacific Northwest in 1891, following his Nordic instincts of fishing. 7 years later, what happened? He ended up where? Here, and he built the first cannery on the north end of Wrangell Narrows, just a stone's throw from here, down the hill from where we sit right now. He brought with him to Mitcliffe Island some craftsmen, men who could turn trees into lumber, and carpenters who could turn lumber into houses. And he also brought a surveyor from Seattle to help lay out Singly Alley, Nordic, and Haugen Drives. But this surveyor, who on a hunting trip with Bushman's son, Eagle, got lost in a week-long snowstorm out of Scow Bay and froze to death, while Eagle miraculously found his way out of the woods, back to the water, into the rowboat, and oared himself back to safety. On this Constitution weekend, lest we forget, I think it's important to pause, to wander a bit away from our gospel text written by Jesus' friends, Luke and Peter and John, in which we are reminded that if we love God, we will
obey His commandments.
We will keep His commandments. That we will do everything humanly possible to keep His commandments, caring and loving for people, not in order to gain God's grace, but because we have God's grace, and our response to God's grace is to eagerly, joyfully, willingly do the best we can to keep His commandments, not earning and not meriting God's grace, but receiving it as His gift. On this Independence Day weekend, I think then it's important to look back and to look at the present and to look ahead as we live through this period of transition, an interim period for Petersburg Lutheran. And to do so, I could not say it any better than how it was said by our own Glo Wolin in this 100-year anniversary booklet, who wrote so beautifully and so poignantly, words which I will now share in light of the words of the Scriptures, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. These words, then, from this booklet, from Glo. Reading, and I quote, "Reading through the church records is like taking a trip into the past and visiting with some of the first families of Petersburg, or perhaps taking a snapshot of the story of our church and community. The records help us understand the gift we have received from the Almighty, remembering the saints He sent before us to create and endow this wonderful spiritual dwelling place and house of worship we call Petersburg Lutheran Church." These are words of Glo, remember? She continues, we live in an imperfect world, filled with imperfect people. But it is evident that God uses all who come to him in the name of Christ Jesus. For this is where Petersburg Lutheran Church finds its strength. In the grace of God, she writes, and in the hearts of our earliest members, and in you, the saints of today. End quote. Glow's words, so beautifully written, remembering the saints he sent before us to create and endow this wonderful dwelling place and house of worship we call PLC. These words really strike home, really hit me, and I hope you too, as we reflect upon what has gone before to bring us to where we are today, an interim period, as we prepare ourselves for what lies ahead, another new beginning. Glow dug out of our fire-protected archives the April 1939 minutes. What did I just say? The what? The April. Okay. Of a church council meeting, which I read. And I quote. Remember, April 1939, these words are written. Due in part to the financial toll of the new building project, referring to the basement of where we are sitting. Actions were taken to request each family or member of PLC to give a lump sum of $5 to help with the budget and to pay down the building loan. Mrs. Lyrell was put in charge of the collection. Right over there, the second window in this first group of two, are the names of Mr. and Mrs. Something Lyrell, and here is her picture. She was given charge of collecting $5 from every member of the church to help with the budget and, mind you, to pay down the debt. Just think about that. The role of women in the church way back then compared to the minimized role of women in some churches today. A church in which my sister couldn't even vote. Those Norwegians had it right. Don't always agree with the women's choices, but that's another subject. Our history, our precious history, lest we forget, is a history not to be forgotten. More snapshots from the past that brought us to where we are today. This time, 2 years later. What year then? 1941. From the well-kept and preserved minutes of this church, the treasurer this time of PLC, Chris Wick, wrote. You're nodding your head, you know. PLC, he writes, has been well blessed this past year. It should be a joy to all residents and friends to learn that Petersburg's own church stands clear of debt. That $5 went a long ways. It was only 2 years before, and they had $1,225 saved for... that's not right. I'm ahead of myself. Saved for the one loan, they were free of debt of $1,225, which is payable at $25 per month. The treasurer, Chris Wick, continued, although at the present time, due to the war, which war? World War II. No further building is being planned. We hope to be financially able to go forth with plans when the war clouds lift. The continuation of your splendid support, he continues to write, will be appreciated. That the church may, this is where it's beautiful, that the church may continue to serve the community of Petersburg. Wow. Wow. They had a vision and a mission. That the church may continue to serve the community of Petersburg during these dark days when the world is searching for some ray of light and hope. Think about that. Almost sounds like today. Huh? I got goosebumps reading that. Knowing that some of you sitting right here in front of me were a part of that. And that some of you here today are responsible for helping to bring us to where we are today. And to you, I say, we all say, what?
Thank you.
It was 7 years later that these words were written for the dedication of the top half of this place, this sanctuary. We rejoice today, it is written, in the privilege of dedicating a new house of worship to the glory of God and the service of our community, to pray that these doors may always be open to all people in the name of Jesus, who said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Wow. Wow. And sitting right here, the first couple married in this place, Wally and Colleen. From 1947, let us take a mighty jump 66 years ahead to 2013, our 100th anniversary, where GLOW writes, we're back to GLOW now, where GLOW writes the concluding paragraph in his wonderful history booklet. She writes, today the task before us is simple. As the mission of Petersburg Lutheran Church remains to love God, to love others, and to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Those are GLOW's words. And she's got it right. And somewhere down the line, in the precious archives, this booklet will be found, and her words will be read to the congregation. She has it right. to love God and to love others. Here again, her words, "Today the task before us is simple, as the mission of Petersburg Lutheran Church remains, to love God and to love others, and to magnify the name of Jesus Christ." As PLC progresses through the 21st century, Glow continues, "We remember and thank the early volunteers, the Ladies' Aid, the PLCW, the youth that have grown into leaders, and all those who have gone before us as witnesses of God's power, of God's grace, and of God's love." And it is our privilege, Glow writes, to continue to stand strong, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to share God's love and forgiveness daily in the upkeeping of the traditions of PLC. Well, folks, that's my sermon. It wasn't much of a sermon, my part of it, sweet corn days, until we got to Glow's part, when it became a sermon, summarized by the words of scriptures, "If we love God, we will keep his commandments and love others." And so I'll conclude by saying, God bless us this Sitnamai weekend in the loving of our God and in the keeping of his commandments, doing the very best that we can. And God bless America, and God bless Norway, and God bless
Sweden.
And God bless Pacific Northwest, where Bushman landed, and where, because he landed and found Mitcliffe Island, a wonderful church was created. God bless PLC. Let's stand and sing the concluding two verses of Spirit of Gentleness.
Wind on the sea.